Isaiah 41:10 is God's anti-fear package, one of many packages, but that's certainly one. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in fact, the verse that we started this church on in 1964. Now, going to the Amplified, let me share that with you because that's also interesting. A little different reading. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you and I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive with you shall also be as nothing and shall perish. And there's a very interesting verse that follows that. You'll even seek for those who contend with you, and you'll not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. And I tell you, I've lived long enough to see that happen in our own life and in our own ministry. God is an awesome God. God began to just speak that little simple understanding to me. This is my anti-fear package. Really, I suppose you could expand that and say that this is God's anti-fear promise package. Because he covers every basic thing as fears are coming. There was a USA Today on the plane we picked up in San Juan. And there was a quote here. America has changed in ways that no one could ever have experienced. The nation's economy seems headed for recession, pushed there by huge layoffs to companies such as Boeing, 30,000 jobs. American Airlines, 20,000. United Airlines, 20,000. The nation's sense of security has been dented. About half of all adults now fear that they'll be victims of another attack, according to USA Today Gallup poll. Half of the United States fears that they will be touched by terrorists. You see, we cannot think or live or plan in fear. And I see clearly what Satan tries to do through what is happening now, as well as everything else that he's up to. Satan is doing his best to enshroud this nation in fear. Afraid to live, afraid to die. Afraid to plan, fear. What shall we do? As a pastor, I must still be a bit of a general practitioner. Warning yet encouraging. Calling for conversions yet strengthening those who are saved through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit. God's not through with America. I want to say that again. God is not through with America. And while things happen that are making us all think, God takes tragedy and turns it into triumph. And so God's Word is still with us. But America desperately needs God and revival. I must preach the fires of hell and the splendors of heaven. I must preach the responsibility of a believer to live and to do the Word of God, yet ever hold up the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're not going to make it according to our perfection. We're going to make it according to His amazing grace. You can't be good enough. You can't live good enough. And yet we are to live according to the Word of God. So as we look at these verses, the key to this package is to make a faith decision to live by faith in God's Word and God's promises. You're either going to be a child of faith or a child of fear. You're going to be a parent of faith or a parent of fear. Fear is going to stalk your steps and affect every decision that you make, or faith is going to be the guiding light and the motivation in your life. Psalms 27 said, "Fear not. I will not fear. I will not fear." Habakkuk, the third chapter, close to its conclusion, said, "Although I will, although everything seems to go wrong, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." It's a point of reality when we were stranded in Virginia from Tuesday until Saturday. Oh, we could have taken other ways to come home, but it just seemed like we needed to hold steady, and God did provide the way to come on back and to fly back in on that Saturday. Saw more television than I've seen in a long time. And I'll be honest with you, I felt it. It happened before I realized it. Some fear began to rise up in my heart. In fact, the realization began to rise in me. A lot of people say, "Well, all things continue as they were from the fathers. Things can't change. I've heard this coming of the Lord stuff, and I've heard all of..." I have too, from a little bitty child. But I think we understood that in just a few hours, one day, a nation can be changed. Our nation will never be the same again. Some things will never, never be the same again. From abandoned airports to half full airplanes or less. It's an awesome thing when you're 1,000 miles away from home. You can't get home quickly. And there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. And then you turn on the television again and something else has happened. And there's been another catastrophe when you were just walking out the door to go to the airport to return home. But I do see the picture more clearly, and I believe I see it as God would have me to see it. We're under attack, but we're under a fear attack. America is under attack, but the major attack that we're under is a fear attack. The first fear attack came in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve decided that one or more of God's promises would not work. And that's the worst fear that you can get yourself into. Satan came and said, "If, hath God said." And that's one reason you can call me what you want to call me, a Bible preacher, a word preacher, call me what you want to, but I love the Word of God. I have nothing to preach but the Word of God. It disturbs me when I see somebody preaching that doesn't have the Word of God with them. We may read one verse, we may read a chapter, we may read two or three chapters, but I want the Word of God not far away from what I'm doing and what I'm saying. I want to be a Bible preacher. It's in my heart. It's in my spirit. It's who I am and it's where I'm coming from. You see, watching the news media, CNN, Fox, BBC, all of this, listening to the various conversations, I saw the picture that Satan is doing his best to put a fear trip on this nation. Winston Churchill said it best during the World War II era. He said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." You start operating in fear as a pastor of a church and you're in big time trouble. There is no way this church would have worked these years without a good measure of faith in God. I'm not saying my faith is perfect, but I'm telling you that I do understand the principles of faith, and if I get a little too far to the left or the right, God gives me that. He knows how to yank my chain, because I know in my heart of hearts that nothing's going to work in our ministry except faith in God. We can't figure it out. We can't manipulate it. It's something that only God can do. We're under a fear attack, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe I have an answer from the Word of God. Yes, God is using this current situation to get people's attention. I thank God for that. And again, I just want to glory for a few moments to show you, with all of our great preaching and with all the teachers and with all the conservative movements across the land, nothing has brought such an absence of saying anything about separation of church and state. I haven't heard a word about separation of church and state since 9/11 of one. I haven't heard one word, maybe a minor word, but it really wasn't even worth following through with about prayer. In fact, CNN, Fox, go to your local church, go to your local synagogue. If you need help, seek out religion. It's not all bad. It's not all bad. And I watched Franklin Graham three times give a clear-cut plan of salvation and tell people how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe all three were on Fox, the Fox Network of State, if I'm not mistaken, but I know one or two at least. So you see, it's interesting. God has not taken a vacation. I haven't heard one word about taking the Ten Commandments off the walls. When realizing that just one of those commandments would have averted this tragedy, thou shalt not kill. Just one of the Ten Commandments would have averted this tragedy. Thou shalt not kill, Exodus 20:13. You see, Satan is putting a fear trip on the world. Afraid to travel, afraid to invest, hits Wall Street, giant corporations, airlines. You know, sin hurts everybody. Could I go back and be utterly simplistic? Someone says it's none of your business what I do. Oh, yes, it is, because eventually your sin's going to touch my life. I've had men and women say, it doesn't make a difference what I do. Oh, yes, it does, because sin hurts everyone. It's not just what I want to do. What I do affects a lot of people. And as I looked at all the things that are happening, the first fear on earth, Adam and Eve's fear that one or more of God's promises would not work. And then the second fear that came after that, of course, was the fear of God's presence. They didn't want to be around the Lord. They didn't want to stay away from church. They don't want to get around preaching that'll dig them out. Where are you, Adam? Where have you been? Oh, I've been around. I've been missing you in church. Just taking a break. You see, when there's sin, you don't want to get under the spotlight. You don't want to get under the spirit of conviction. You want to get under one of these easy ministries that won't ruffle your feathers. Fear hath torment. Don't ever doubt that one or more of God's promises will ever come to pass. As we ministered last Thursday evening, God's answer to unanswered prayer is simply this: if you pray to the Father in Jesus' name in faith, believing according to the Word of God, your prayer has been heard. And I believe the answer's on the way. Some things just don't happen on our time schedule. Fear hath torment. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is not of God. Fear is from Satan as faith is from God. Satan is a fear devil, and God is a faith God. Believing God's word and promises builds faith in your life and my life too. So, what do we say about this? Let's look at God's anti-fear package, Isaiah 41 and 10. First of all, he said, fear thou not. Do you know there's not one of us in this audience today that is excluded from this fear not? Well, I sit on a certain row and I have a certain amount of experience and credibility and stability. I can fear. No, you can't afford the luxury of fear. You cannot afford the luxury of fear. Isaiah 41:10 said, fear thou not. Psalms 3:6 said, I will not be afraid, though 10,000 come against me. 10,000 to one, I will not be afraid. Psalms 23:4, I will fear no evil, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalms 91:5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror or the terrorist by night, nor for the arrow, the missile that flieth by day. Psalms 91, going further, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So first of all, The first step in God's anti-fear promise package is fear thou not. But everyone else fears. My grandparents feared. My auntie feared. Had a cousin that feared all the time. And some families have a generational curse of fear. They fear everything. They're afraid to live. They're afraid to die. They're afraid of the water. They're afraid of the food. Everything's a fear. Now, honey, you want to be careful. And they don't hear a word you say. Walk careful, drive careful. Away they go. Fear thou not. The Bible plainly teaches us that fear hath torment. Fear thou not, quotes, 365 direct quotes are references to fear not, one for every day of the year. I will not fear. Fear of life, fear of death, fear of cancer, fear of dreaded diseases, fear of the present, fear of the future, fear of famine, fear of finances, fear of our children, fear of terrorism. Half of America is afraid that they're going to be affected by a terrorist, according to the latest polls. Fear to fly. Well, what about buses and trains? Trains go off the track. Buses don't always get there, too. I see a lot of buses over at the side of the road, you know, with the engine compartment up just by the side of the road. The fear to build, the fear to buy. You know, I've just about figured out there's never a perfect time to do anything for God. Every time I've started to do something for God, all of a sudden there was a big reason. Well, preacher, you better be careful. We're living in changing times. Well, when we started in 1964, we got a building that was about an $80,000 building. Don't laugh. It was a big deal to me. Got it for $40,000 because we were in changing times. We came downtown. We got a building that was evaluated at around $3 or $4 million for $1.5 million because we were in a recession and in changing times. We had a tornado, and it looked like everything was completely upside down. And I don't care how much insurance you have, there's still a lot of things to be dealt with. And yet, in the midst of a storm, God has taken care of us. Now, I'm not saying that you run out and do something foolish, or if you're a business person, think. God gave you that brain. Pray before you make decisions. I'm not just saying run out and make foolish decisions. But I know, especially in the work of God, it's never the right time to do something for God. It's never the right time to give to missions. It's never the right time to make a major commitment. We've already had some interesting ideas. Well, you know, we can't get involved in the Christian school because, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll take care of God's house and God's schoolhouse, it's amazing what God will make happen for your house. Joe and I have made the largest commitment we've ever made in our life for ministry because we believe in Christian education. It's amazing. Some people believe in it when it's easy, but I'm going to tell you, when it costs you something is when you find out how much you really do believe in whatever you're involved in. Fear thou not. I wish I could just come down and just take each one of you by the hand and look you right in the eye and say, do you understand? God said to you, fear not. And to you, fear not. You're not too young for fear. You're not too old for fear. You say, but you don't understand what I'm in the midst of. I don't have to understand what you're in the midst of. God's word covers it all. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. It's never the right time to do anything for God. It's never the right time to give to God. It's never the right time to make a strange move or a different move, something that's strange for you. But the Bible said, fear thou not. Really what it comes back to is God in it. That's it. Is God in it? Is this a moment of foolishness? Is it a bright idea or is it a God idea? So you say, first of all, he said, fear thou not. Why, God? Because he said, I am with thee. I remember as a little boy, I just was never afraid when I was walking with my daddy. Man, I could reach up and take daddy by the hand And I was shaking like a leaf sometimes. Maybe a big old dog was coming, you know, or I sensed there was some danger or something happening. But it just seemed like when I put my hand in Dad's hand that everything is all right. And I tell you, when God Almighty says, I am with you, that should settle it right there. I am with you. Who do you want with you? What person could be more to you than God? What system could be more to you than God? I am with you. Why fear thou not? Because God said, I am with you. Then he went on to say, you're not even being reasonable. Don't even be discouraged. What? Come on. Be not dismayed. Anything dis is not good. This is not good. Dismayed, discouraged, disheartened. Be not dismayed. Well, just leave me alone. I just want to have my mood. I want to have my moment. Just leave me. This is just me. Yeah, and that's why you're in such a mess too. When you feel that mood coming on that is contradictory to the word of God, just say, wait a minute. It's about time I change. It's about time I got a mood change, a mind change, a heart change. You know, God's changing me, and I've been serving him for a number of years. You may not be able to see it, but there's some massive changes going on in me. I mean, I'm talking to God on a daily basis, and my daily prayer is, God, change me. Oh, God, change me. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Oh, I want your ways, Lord, not my ways. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Well, on what basis do you say that, God? Because he said, I am thy God. I am with thee, and I am your God. You want to hurt God's feelings? I am your God. What are you so bummed out about? Oh, well, I am your God. That hasn't changed. But you don't understand, God, I'm bummed out. I'm all discouraged. But I am your God. I am with you, and I am your God. And together we're coming out of this. Don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. Joe and I were first married, believe it or not. She sold new cars. And not for long, but she did for a while. And I remember that man, Joy. Every morning he would go into his office, the manager, and read the horrible scope. And if it said he was going to have a good day, whether he sold a car or not, he'd be all smiley all day long. But if the horoscope says it's going to be a bad day, I remember somebody came in there and wanted to buy a car. He wouldn't even talk to them. Had cash to buy a car, and he wouldn't even talk to them because it was not supposed to be a good day. You talk about ignorance gone to seed. Who is our God? The Lord of hosts is our God. The God of Jacob. Who said, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. Don't ever be discouraged. Don't sweat daily life is what God's trying to tell us. Ever since Cain and Abel got into it with a 10-pound club or whatever it was, the world's been in turmoil. Just know there will be wars, there will be thieves, there will be con men, there will be liars, terrorists. People who let you down, even Christians that let you down, divorce, infidelity, unfaithfulness, untimely deaths. This will happen as long as you live. I don't like it. You don't like it. We've come through some different times and seasons, but you just have to commit those things to God. I meet people that 20 years ago something happened and the rest of their life they just pulled down the window shade of faith, hope, and love and just said, leave me alone and become a recluse because of something that happened. I tell you, God's breathing into my heart and breathing into your heart that he does not want us to be discouraged. He does not want us to be dismayed. And he goes on to say, I will help thee. I will help thee. I will help thee. What don't we understand about I will help thee? We're on our knees saying, oh God, I need help. We call the power tower. Oh God, I need help. We told all of our friends, pray for me. I need help. And the Lord's hand is out saying, I'll help you. Oh, you don't understand, Lord. This is a big one. You don't understand. This is a big one. God said, I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. I'm not trying to be complicated. I'm down where we live. Americans, 50% of Americans say we're afraid. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to be dismayed. I may be tempted. I may be there for a few moments. Might be there for an hour, God forbid. But I'm not going to stay there. Because he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will help you. Isaiah 50 verse 7 said, for the Lord God will help me. Got a newsletter from a precious lady out in California. She's been to hell and back in her own personal life. Husband's infidelity, and she's faced, among everything else, cancer, and she's a faith champion. But she said she walked out of her insurance agent's office the other day, and it was some little matter, and he said, don't worry about it. And he called her by name. He said, got you covered. And she said something went off inside of me, and she said, that's exactly what God's saying from Genesis to Revelation. I got you covered. I got you covered. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Got you covered. That's what God's saying to us today. When men and women walk out, God walks in. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I remember when we made a trip to India a few years ago. It was a life-changing trip for me. State Department said, don't travel. They not only said, don't travel to India. It was a double-double, don't travel to Beirut, Tehran, Kuwait. And we were in all three places. You know, I wasn't enough of a world traveler to know how close to danger I really was. I was just a younger preacher at that point. And I knew that we were on a mission for God on our way to Calcutta. But we were on cheap tickets, and so we had to kind of go through these nations and kind of go on the schedule of others. So we spent 8 days in Beirut just before that terrible thing broke loose 3 weeks later. I thought those were very strange and unfriendly folks in that hotel. Found out it was a PLO headquarters that we were staying in. You know, it's amazing how well you do if you just don't know. Then we do know, and we're so smart we become afraid. See, Satan would like to say to every minister, don't travel. Don't get on an airline. Don't travel somewhere. Don't buy that piece of property. Don't venture out. Don't do what God's called you to do. I'm working on your fear today. If there's any in there, I'm working on it. I'm after it. People, we cannot, we must not, by the grace of God, we must choose today. I will fear no evil. Jesus is the Lord of my life. He said, I will help thee. And then he went further to say, I will strengthen thee. You know, just to give you an insight in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, Daniel saw our day and fainted. Does that tell you something about the day in which we live? Daniel, by revelation, saw our day and there was not a catcher in sight. He was out. He said, no strength remained in me. I saw CNN. I saw Fox. I heard the projections. I heard the Gallup poll that 50% of Americans are afraid of being harmed or killed by a terrorist. Just out of it. Where's it going to stop? We must draw the line. God said, I'll not only help you, I will strengthen you. Satan's end time strategy is to wear out the saints. I got bummed out in a hotel room thinking, God, I'm 1,000 miles away from home. And I mean, Every time you'd make a call, they'd cancel another flight. Drove over an hour and a half down the road, and I went out 6 o'clock the next morning. The plane's there. It's dark. No one there in the airport. And that, you know, a lot of thoughts go through your mind. Strange times. And then I said, uh-oh, I know what he's up to. In the name of Jesus, everything's going to be all right. God is my strength. God will take care of me. God's going to see me through. I will strengthen thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. Satan's end time strategy is to wear you out if he could. That's why the Galatian letter said, be not weary in doing the right thing. We all get tired of doing the right thing. Especially when you see a lot of others that aren't doing the right thing. And it seems like things are going better with them. Just for a fleeting moment, don't tell me the thought doesn't come through your head, what in the world's going on here? You know, I was straight arrow. I did the right thing. And I mean, what about it? But right always wins, because God always wins. Right always wins when your faith is in God. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. And then he went on to say, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, or the right hand of my righteousness. I can't forget an article I read, maybe it was a year ago, something like that. It seemed like I read it on an airplane. But there was an area up in Canada that was dedicated to wildlife. And I mean, there were wolves and there were moose and every other kind of wild creature. But they said something interesting. They said, the mighty moose with that rack, they look so docile, you know. I was out walking a couple of years ago up in Colorado, and one just walked right across the road, best close to me as the joy, and just kind of looked at me and just kept on walking. I said, walk on by, fella. Just, that big rack just comes out of the woods on one side of the road, goes on to the other side. But they said the wolf cannot take a moose out until a moose quits. And as the wolves are circling, they know when that moose with that rack can come after them at any moment. But if they ever look into the eye of the moose and they see, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm tired of running, I'm tired of fighting, then the pack moves in. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me today. Get that look out of your eye. I'm tired. Get that look out of your spiritual eye. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of tithing. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of doing the right thing. I'm tired of saying no to sin. Get that out of your eye, because the wolf pack, Satan's wolf pack, is just waiting to see I quit in your eyes. Just waiting to see I quit. And if they can ever see that, and they know there's a signal. Nature has its own communication. And if the wolf ever sees in the eyes of the moose, do what you got to do. For long, they close in on the hindquarters. And the wolf brings the moose down. I want you to know that God gave you a full rack of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God gave you a full rack of faith in God. We've just come from an island that I heard a liberal the other day said, we interfered in the internal affairs of Grenada. Yeah, right, we did. We ran communism out is what we did. And that island where little children had carried machine guns and snitched on their auntie and their parents, and communism rewards them for being little spies. Some of those same young people now are teenagers and in their 20s. In our mission church down there. And there were many that were formerly in the regime that are now born again, spirit filled. And 24 hours a day, Christian television is alive and well on the island of Grenada and reaching out to other islands round about. Why? Because God said, I will hold thee up with the right hand of my righteousness. So as I look at these verses that are before me, how can I say it more simply? We all have a tendency to fear in a certain area. See, your fear may not affect me, and my fear may not affect you. You may look at me and say, well, I don't even understand why you would even have attendance. You know, say, we lose 10 pounds and the whole world becomes obese, you know. What's wrong with you? Why don't you lose 10 pounds? But I'm reaching out from a pastor's heart. I've not only been in this city, but I've been in another state. I couldn't get back for a while. And then we flew out. In fact, the people on the island of Grenada, they said, we didn't think you'd come. Because all the warnings, don't fly and thank you for coming. They just couldn't say thank you enough. I think they listened very closely because they appreciated our coming. But I trust you'll never forget the profile, the face, the spirit of this pastor today. If I could, looking into every one of your eyes and saying, whatever you're facing, don't quit. Whatever you're facing, the wolf may be close to the door. The wolves may be coming around, but don't let the wolf look in your eye and see that I quit. I'm tired. Tired of doing the right thing. Tired of making the right decision. But I want you to get your shoulders up and get your spirits up and get your head up. The Bible said when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads and rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. We are closer to the coming of the Lord than we have ever been in my lifetime and generation. Yes, I've heard it since I was a little bitty boy, and there were many times when it looked like it was so far away. But we've seen in a matter of one day how that our world can change. You think that was quick? You wait till one day there's a horn that sounds louder than Phil Driscoll's. There's going to be a trumpet blast. And it's going to make a difference. Whatever your weakness is, cry out to God. You know, the thing I love about God is even when you're battling sin or you have a weakness, and you may not be there yet, but don't quit. Don't let that wolf see in your eye, I'll yield the next time. I heard a young lady say, if a young man ever gets as close as the last time, I'm going to go ahead. God, don't let the wolf of the world see quit in your eyes. Don't let the wolf of the world put that cowardice in your spirit. If everybody in your family quits, you stand up and say, as for me, I'll serve God. I'll do the right thing. None of you, and I know there's a lot of divorce situations represented in anybody's church, but you look out at Santa Claus, you know, Big Daddy or Big Mama, you know, they're the ones that are living the high life, the life's fun out where they were. No, it's not. It's hell. And they're living on the verge of disease, and they're living on the verge of everything the Word of God says will get you in trouble. The way of the transgressor is hard. I said the way of the transgressor is hard. I'm not mad at anybody. I hate sin because it takes people out. And it takes them out before they go out. But the Spirit of God asked me just before going to Grenada. God spoke to me just before I came to service on a Thursday night. And you may hear this a few more times, but I'm going to tell you what God told me. Please write it down. It's begun to be a life-changing thing with me. I found a little piece of paper. It's not eloquent. But God, first of all, asked me the question, who are you doing all this for? You know, you can get a bad attitude even working for the church. You can become unthankful and ungrateful even working around the house of God. Who are you doing all this for? Well, I'm just staying with her for something. No. Is it for God? Okay. Number two, whose applause and approval do you seek? It just doesn't get any more bottom of the line than this. I'm sitting there in shock. God said, whose applause and whose approval do you seek? And then the Lord went on to say, who is your trust in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And then God said, who or what is your total source of supply? See, I've been there a number of times, many times over a period of time when, you know, it's one thing if you know you've got a source you can count on. But it's another thing if you're so far beyond that that only God can help you. And I've been there. So who are you doing all this for? Whose applause and approval do you seek? It's nice to have yours, and I thank you so much for all of your love. But one day I look forward to hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. God, let me hear that. And there's one more that he asked me, whose word is final authority in your life? Whose word, whose letter? I get so weary of people. They've got the latest book, so they got them another revelation that directly in contrast with the word of God. Whose word do you believe? Whose word is final authority in your life? I don't care what somebody says on the internet. I don't care what somebody puts in a book. If it comes down to it, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. I don't have to rejoice in anything if it doesn't line up with the word of God. Amazing. People come, Brother Nichols, have you seen the latest revelation? And they tell me about it, and I said, how many times have I seen this thing come around, go around, come around, go around, come around, go around? Oh, I tell you, I thank God for the word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. Thank God for the word. Now, we're getting one of our trips home from Africa, and it was during that time when it was a grinder. And I'll never forget, as we were coming through the United States officers there that check you out in the customs and all that, immigration, you're always ready for anything. One asked me the other day, have you lived in Texas all your life? And I said, yes, sir. I don't know what that had to do with it, but that was one of the questions. They're really tightening up security. Have you lived in Texas all of your life? But anyway. But I'll never forget that man that looked at me, stamped my passport, and he said, welcome home. Welcome home. One of these days it's going to happen. As we're sweeping through the gate, final passport stamp. Welcome home. And you're going to hear all the host of heaven saying, we're so proud of you that you didn't quit. We're so proud of you that you might have stumbled and fallen and you might have been blooded in the fight. But we're so thankful that you didn't quit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Yes, God wants us to live wisely. God wants us to live sensibly. I'm not encouraging anyone to go out and do something foolish. But the moment you start living by fear, you're in trouble. I remember we were associate ministers to my father-in-law for so many years, and the theme song on that broadcast at that time, it said, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe, neath his sheltering arms, I believe it was, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. I just want to tell you, church, keep your faith switch on. Keep your faith switch on. Keep on believing God. You don't get too old not to need faith anymore. You're not too young, but that you need faith. Don't put your eyes on those that do not make it. Keep your eyes on those that make it. The prize of the high calling in the Lord Jesus Christ.